hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Thank you this morning for an opportunity to come into your presence and to be wrecked by your goodness, to be molded by your word, to be energized by your spirit, to be freed by your freedom. I pray, Father, that you would illuminate to us this morning who you really are, so that we can know who we are. Show us your heart this morning, God, so that we can recognize what you gave us and what's inside of us ready to come out. We've come before you not to just have a service, but to be serviced by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat. Stephanie doing things like that right before somebody comes up in front. Make a man feel inadequate. But what's amazing is I don't have to compare myself to her. We'll unpack that later. Don't have to compare myself to her because I know that the Lord has done something unique inside of me. And so my goal is not to become a better singer because I heard Stephanie sing. My goal is to be who God's called me to be. My goal is to come in and deliver what God is doing on the inside of me to give an expression to that like she just did. Mm-hmm. Amen? So every single one of us have the same goal this morning. And that is, God's done something inside of you. And it needs to be expressed. It needs to be expressed. We cannot enslave and imprison Jesus in a faithless life. Amen? We can't enslave and imprison Jesus in a faithless life. To say, thank you, Lord, I've got you, is only the beginning. And so we're gonna kind of challenge some things this morning. I went to the mall yesterday. Don't do that. Around this time of year, don't do that. Stay home and watch TV, because evil lurks in the mall. I thought that there were just going to be fights in the parking lot. The herd of cattle that we all were in going through that place, the contention. I saw people feverishly looking through racks to try to get that thing before somebody else gets that thing. It's crazy. You just look around, and I don't know, maybe just me, but I just look around and go, what is all this about? What are we going after here? What is the thing that's driving all of us? What's got us in that position? I think it's important to look at. I do. I think it's important to look at. So here's the deal, is I agree with everything that's been said today. I heard if you listen, the Spirit's speaking, right? And so I heard Pat talking about, you know, the little joke that people say about how if I would have known that grandkids were like this, I would have never had kids, you know, which is a funny thing to say. But he said, you know, what I had to realize over time is that it wasn't them that changed. It wasn't the grandkids that were different than the kids. It was that I was different. And through that, it opened a door for me to walk into some new arenas. The pastor that just spoke, he said, you know, when God began to deal with me, I didn't have a point of reference at all for what he was doing. And it's scary to be in that position. Yeah, But here's the deal. That's why God gives us the opportunity to have revelation and to be in relationship with him, because he always has you prepared for the season you're walking into, whether you realize it or not. You're always on time when you're yielded. You're always on time. You're not trying to catch up to something when you have him. Are you with me? You're not trying to catch up to something. I saw a lot of people yesterday at the mall just trying to catch up. Maybe catch up with one another. Maybe catch up to a certain financial position. Gotta get that sale. Just trying to catch up. Listen, the Lord has you. If your life and your heart are yielded to him, the Lord has you in the correct position. We have to be a people that are disciplined about surrendering. Disciplined about refusing to get entangled with the stuff around you when there is heaven to gain. Disciplined about refusing to wear an earth coat when he has a coat of glory for you, if that makes sense. And that's the struggle that we face, because it's a very real world that we live in, and you do have to look at other people and see what they have. You do have to look at other people and watch the way that they minister. And it's just not helpful. Yeah? We're going to give this a try. What do you think, Ken? I put Ken way on the spot with not even the equipment that he needed to do it. But I'm hoping maybe we can watch a video. If you can't, it's on me. Move that to like 155 or whatever. This is just a little video that I thought of when I was thinking about what the Lord was laying on my heart today. Yeah, that's the eye I saw yesterday. Saw that in the parking lot. Yeah, so getting yourself in a point of contention with someone that you're not called to contend with can take you on the wrong turn. Amen? It's just the truth. What happens is the Lord has some things for us in this season. And I'm telling you, a lot of what he is birthing into the earth through us in this season, we do not have a frame of reference for. It hasn't been done like this before. Some things that, I don't know about you guys, but some things that I'm seeing in the Spirit, I can't find a book on. Yeah? I can't find a conference that will get me there. I feel like the Lord is doing such unique things. And there's other times if you look back in our history, there are other times where that kind of radical transformation of God's people, where they walk into a new season and a new way of living, a new way of being, that's happened in the past. And sometimes it's been really awkward how we've gotten there. I think partly because of some of the things that I want to share today. The Bible says that it is unwise to compare ourselves with one another, to look at each other as a measuring stick. That is not because God's trying to make you feel better for not being as cool as another person. It's because he's called each one of us to uniquely birth some things that must be. So, yeah, I've heard it said a lot in the church that don't worry. God loves the person that is cleaning the toilets as well as he loves the preacher in the pulpit. And so there's this thing of like, oh, okay. Well, some people just don't have vision. There's just that, you know, that idea of like, well, that's right. All I really am is this, and other people are really making no. It's not a thing of like, listen, God's gifted some and he hasn't others, so let's all be content with that. It's a thing of he absolutely is inside of you. He absolutely is ready to birth some unique things out of you. And your heart your faith needs to meet that. Your heart needs to rise to the occasion of that and not give yourself a pass, if you will, that there are some soldiers in the army and then there's just some of us on the side. We're all in this army. We just have unique ways of doing the thing. I remember I started grad school. I was 10 years away from my, it's in 2001, so it's longer than that, right? 2001, I graduated with a bachelor's at Marshall. And I went back for a master's like last year. And after the test, you know, like the entrance exam into the deal, like absolutely fried my brain. I'm talking like egg kind of thing. After I got through that horrific experience, I get into class and I go, whew, I've made it. Now I know how to do class. Okay, this is cool. And so I'm sitting there in class and the professor starts asking some questions about like, okay, here's what we're going to be talking about. Is there anything that you specifically want me to cover? They don't ask you that in undergrad. And I'm thinking, is she crazy? She's asking the students what they want to cover. Just tell us what we need to cover. We're going to get grades. And but sure enough, I started looking around me and here come hands all around me. And people just get, you know what I really love? I just really feel like that we should study the... And just everybody began to just almost talk over one another, talking about what they are really passionate about studying. And I went, these are not my people. I've got a problem here. These people are crazy passionate about learning from a textbook. And it intimidated the fire out of me. I didn't even know half the words that they were saying. I had no point of reference, no frame of reference for what they were saying. And I'm sitting there going, I am in trouble here. And I thought to myself, what would it mean? I mean, like, what would I say to everybody if I quit and walked out now? Like, you know, how would I break that to Brian? How would I, how could I do that? How could I phrase that in a way that I'd still look good? And, just all these things you think about, you know? And I listened, and I endured, and then I got through another class, and I got through another class, and I got through another class, and for a while, I was panicking and trying to contend with the other. I found myself looking up, trying to read the textbook, and looking up every definition of every word. Yeah, so, all right, I know the, that's cool. And so, all right, next word, okay, dictionary. And there was this, even reading the textbook was this constant, like, back and forth to the dictionary. But after a while, I stopped contending because I started giving myself to this idea. God, I didn't put myself here. This wasn't my idea. You blew that thing up on the inside of me at a right season and then opened the door for me to walk into it. So, here I am. Here I am. So what are you going to do? Because you did not walk me into this season to make me because I was somebody different than what I am. You know who I am and you put me in the season. You know better who I am than I do. So here I am. And so what I began to do is to feel more comfortable being me. And I didn't write papers the way that I thought the professor would like it or the way that I could compared to another person that I heard or tried to peek at their paragraph, okay? I stopped doing that. Instead, I just gave myself to what he did inside of me. And, you know, three semesters of straight A's later, I never had to become those people. Nothing wrong with those people. That is not me. And the body of Christ, it's so vitally important for each one of you to take that same advice. To stop looking around and trying to measure yourself or measure your destiny based on what you've seen or what you're looking at. Because it is vital for us to birth. It's vital for us to birth. And I cannot birth the things that Stephanie is birthing. If somebody would have challenged me to say, hey, we're going to do three songs and we're going to put this out in a couple of weeks for a Christmas album, we would still be sitting here today with no Christmas albums. Yeah? But I do know what the Lord has done inside of me can birth something in a moment, overnight, in a second. And I give myself to that. I give myself to, it's imperative that I give myself to that. Cain and Abel. Okay? Genesis chapter 4. Says that Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? And it says that Abel was a, what's it say of him? He is a tender of the flock or keeper of the flock. Okay? It's a perfect description of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Right? The Old Covenant is till this ground. Till this ground. Work, work, work to conform this to a standard. Right? And so, and Abel's was a new covenant look. And that was to keep the flock. Okay? So keeping the flock, in other words, there's a relationship to cultivate here, not a standard to perform to. There's a relationship to cultivate. And the results of that relationship are what you offer. The firstlings of the flock, Jesus. Does that make sense? And so the big problem between Cain and Abel is that Cain began to compare himself to Abel, right? And he began to look at Abel and say, he was bothered because he wasn't accepted. Can we recognize something? It was for Cain that his offering wasn't accepted. Cain's in the same boat with the rest of us. Come on. We have to have the firstlings of the flock, Jesus, accepted rather than us, rather than our tilling of the ground, rather than our self-improvement, right? Because I'm telling you this, just like when you're a tiller of the ground, you can work all day long and feel like you accomplished something at the end of the day, but guess what? Tomorrow happens. And you're all over again. And so what you end up doing is you tie yourself up in these systems and structures to try to avoid ever having struggles or having problems, right? And so what that does is that confines you and it distracts you from the relationship that you're called to cultivate. Right? But if we could cultivate that relationship with Jesus, we'll be happy with the results. And all we do is just give the first of what he gave. It's an awesome way to live. It was for Cain that offering wasn't accepted. Recognize this, that the Pharisees had the same issue, right? Is instead of receiving from who Jesus was, they compared themselves to him and contended with him. Right? I wish they could have realized, of course, I like Pastor Kevin's thought, well, I hope they never realize, right? I wish we could just realize, though, in that moment that it was for the Pharisees that their ministry diminishes as Jesus rises. And on the other end, their ministry finds new meaning and greater impact. You guys with me? And so, listen, there are some things that we're contending with one another. Well, I'll just say this. I'm happy for that song that just said that, you know, like I can be set free from my failure. But I really want to be set free from my successes as well. Amen? I need set free from my success. Because I can't have that success begin to build a ground for me to till. I'm just going to keep tending the flock. Yeah? I'm just going to keep tending that flock. And because here's the deal, is the things that he's called us to are supernatural. We cannot, through human flesh, see it come to pass. We can't. My dreams are there. My dreams are in a place that I cannot accomplish them without Jesus coming through. How about yours? We cannot, here's what Scripture says, is no eye has seen nor ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We must have that. We must have that. You will find that you'll begin to compare yourself with one another when you are afraid of that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard business. Yeah? And so you'll start comparing then, because it is really uncomfortable to embrace something that God wants to do in your life that you don't have a frame of reference for and that you don't have support. There's my leash. That you can't look around you and all that. It's just easier to turn your eyes off of a God that is demanding faith out of you and causing you to walk into things that you could not have created on your own. It's so tempting to get your eyes off of that. And when you do, in order to justify that, we just start comparing with one another. Or we have this mindset of like, this is what a good life is. And I think that this is what drives a lot of people that I saw at the mall yesterday. Like, this is what a good life is. This is what it's about right here. And so people are just gathering things, right? And putting things on. And putting their hair and their face in a certain position that they can say, now I've arrived. Now I'm okay. Now there's something that's not demand. There's no more that's demanded of me. I can blend in. I know what it's like to be a child that could not afford the right clothes to wear at school. I know what it's like to be that. And what I really wanted to do, I did not want to impress anybody with my clothes. That wasn't my dream. What I really wanted to do was just fit in. I wanted to be unnoticed. Does that make sense? That's what we settle for. Is give me enough that nobody's looking down on me. Give me enough that no one is can point a finger at me or that can laugh or snicker. I want that. The African American struggle in America, we have to consider that they've hit that same ceiling if they're not careful. Does that make sense? Is it that in America, when we had them in a position, we had an entire race of people in a position of slavery. And so there was this feeling that they had, there was this position that they were in that was like, listen, we just want what we call it, equality. Right? Equality. We just want to be able, come on, Rosa Parks, we just want to be able to sit where everybody else is sitting. Yeah? And so then, at least somewhat in the rule books, there's this thing that we call equality in this country, right? But that is not the end. What we're really called, each one of us are really called to is what heaven has legislated, not what we should have in comparison to others. I'm just trying to challenge us this morning because we have to birth what God has called us to birth, and we can't do that by comparing with other ministries, by comparing with other people, by just trying to be invisible and to feel good about ourselves and to be established. We have to have a desire that we're cultivating that's way more than that. And the only way that you can do that is to stay connected to heaven and let that be your standard. Jesus lived not in comparison. Can you imagine him trying to compare himself to the people of that day? There's no frame of reference. He was left only with his Father to look to. Right? So are you, whether you realize it or not. There are men that I look up to in the faith. My mom is here today, and I look up to her in the faith. I got to see her walk out something right before me as I was growing up that changed me forever. And so I love that. I love having heroes. Recently, I got to, it was really cool. I was talking with a kid in my youth group. And every once in a while, anybody that knows me very well, you'll know that I'll throw out a Bill Johnson quote every once in a while, like every time. Because he's a hero in the faith to me. And this youth group member looked at me and said, "I really feel like God's telling me that you're going to have a chance to meet him soon." And so when was that? Like, when were we at the beach and everything? I'm awesome at time frames. Yeah, so in August, when I shook his hand and got to spend some time with him, I took a selfie and sent that to that young person. So, and he was just blown away and excited or whatever. But I posted it on Twitter, and when I posted this picture of Bill Johnson and I on Twitter, I said, "This was the conviction of the Lord that I had: have heroes, and be challenged by their life lived, but stay true to the design of what God has called you to at the same time." I am thankful for Bill Johnson. I am thankful for my mother, but they are not my end. They are not my end. Bill Johnson needs me to birth what I'm called to birth. He desperately needs me, whether he realizes it or not. He desperately needs me to birth what I'm called to birth. He'll know it one day. He'll know it one day. Are you with me? I desperately need you to birth what you're called to birth. Yeah? Anybody that I have an opportunity at any level, like I am this morning, I have an opportunity right now to lead. Right? And then all that means is that I'm going first this morning. I talk first. Why? Because they let me. They put it on the schedule, and they couldn't take it back by the time they got here. It was on Planning Center. You can't change things on Planning Center. So I go first this morning, but here's the deal, is I go first with the attitude and the desire that that many will follow after. Not doing what I did, but accomplishing the essence of what they're called to this morning. Does that make sense? In other words, there's a ministry required of you today. Whether it be shaking a hand and giving a hug today, ministering prayer today, discerning the voice of the Lord today and beginning to record it so that the Lord can begin to work with that. Whether it be a a gift of a tongue or a gift of a prophetic word or whatever. Listen, I'm going first, but I better not be last. Better not be last. What's God doing inside of you today? Listen, there's no book for it, and there's no conference, but I'm telling you this, that it must be. It must be. It must be. Stand with me. If eyes closed helps you do it, then do it. But I ask everybody right now to just begin to discern what the Lord's saying. Discern what the Lord's saying over your life. Come on, there's a next step. There's a new glory that He's called you to this morning. And it is imperative that you pay attention. Some of you have even recently had an opportunity to walk into a new job. And the Lord's just saying this morning, that don't go in there with a script, but be open and ready for what the Lord is doing. Because that new job is more, that job is not there to shape you. You're there to shape it. And there's some specific things and some specific reasons that He's put you there. And He needs you to give yourself to that even today. He needs you to give yourself to that even today. Some of you have been thrusted into some new relationships that you didn't have before. Actually, a lot of you have, as this church is about, 6 weeks old, right? And He just says this, don't go into this body with a script of what you've seen others accomplish or what you've accomplished in ministry in the past. But be open and discerning what the Lord desires to do with you in this time. Because I promise you this, that this body is not postured to, they're not interested in merely being a church. They're interested in being the church that we're called to be. To be a gathering of people that are moving forward and that are discerning what the Lord's voice is, and even when there's no script to go by, to charge forward by faith anyway. And we need you to discern. Some of you are being called to operate in new manifestations of power. You've never done it before. There's times where you've had some faulty teaching that has taught you that it's not for everyone, that only certain people can do that. But I'm telling you this, every single one of us are called to manifest Christ in His fullness. In His fullness. And though some of us are uniquely gifted in certain areas or directions or whatever, every single one of us are called and are able by the Holy Spirit to manifest Him in every way that He wants to be known. Some people that have never prophesied and don't even have a frame of reference of that, listen, they're just going to have a conviction that the Lord is arresting them with some thoughts that are not their own, and they're going to have enough compassion and love for others to release that even when it is risky and it is scary to do in front of others. Are you with me? And then we'll call it prophecy. Some of you are just going to be walking into a restaurant and you will see the physical pain on someone's face. And you, the Lord is going to arrest you with a conviction of his finished work and what he really did with sickness, death, and disease. And you're going to be so arrested by that idea that through compassion and love, you will reach out to that person and declare what you know. And then we'll call it healing. Just so that we can have a frame of reference of what to call it. All kinds of things are going to be birthed because we're going to live from the inside out instead of the outside in. You must create. You must create. Do not settle. Do not settle. Do not settle for a good life that others can pat you on the back on while heaven stands bored to tears. Do not settle for a moral life. Do not settle for the faith life that you used to live that isn't faith to you now. Does that make sense? Break forth. Not according to your ability compared to others, but according to what he said your ability was and his life inside of you. I just feel this, that there are those of you, if not all of you, that are feeling this call to walk into this newness of life, this freshness of life, this life that is not limited by a script. And you're realizing that the Lord is challenging your faith this morning. I don't always do this, but I'm just going to ask that you would come up and let's pray together. I'm just going to ask for some of you just to, or who, I don't know, maybe everybody, but just come on out and let's, Pastor Stephanie, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Mike, Ken, Butch, you know, several of us are just going to come and lay hands and just affirm and release what the Lord is doing inside of you today. Come on up. Let's do this. Feeling that I had in class that way.
In this house, restoration in this place. There is mercy, there is grace. Though you're heavy laden, come. Bring your burdens one by one. Leave them here where they belong. There is healing.
What he's saying is so prophetic, just almost too much to even get to grasp. But let me break it down for you. That was just something that ministered to me real quickly. And it's just the Christmas story. The angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says, yeah. There's no reference for this,
yeah.
But you're going to be with child. She was troubled at the salutation. What? How can this thing be? I have no frame of reference. but it's your season, Mary. You're highly favored of God. And then he says this. He says, you're going to give birth to something that it's necessary that it come from you, because the world has to have what's coming from you. And it's an increasing kingdom that'll have no end. And Mary, this is troubling, because he didn't go outside of you to put this inside of you. He put it in you because he didn't choose anybody else for this. It's unique for you. And then he says this. The Lord angel says, Mary, and by the way, Elizabeth, yeah, she pregnant too. She'd been barren. So not only is it necessary for you to give birth, she's going to have to give birth too. So I'm not just doing this in you. I'm doing it in all around you. Are you hearing me? She said, nevertheless, that thy word. She was troubled in her heart. She didn't know what to think about all that. And then the angel of the Lord said directly to her, says, Mary, all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. Some of you are facing situations in your life that you're thinking, I don't even know what this looks like, but he's birthing something in you that's impossible. And you need him to do this for you. But it's got to come through you. It can't happen outside of you. It's got to happen in you. It says, Pastor Ronnie, was me in the ministry, and I thought, man, there's so many people in here. This is for everybody, somebody. God wants to do it, and it can only happen through you. And you have no frame of reference of where to even look. But just know, Mary, Elizabeth, it's happening to her too. And it's impossible with man, but it's only possible with God. Whoever you are, if you want to come forward, we're going to pray for some people. And then we're going to dismiss you. In fact, bow your heads and close your eyes real quickly. Because I know it's 12:30 and the kids are coming through. I know some of you are craving fried donuts. And that's okay. We're going to pray. But there's something brand new that's happening in you that only you can give. No one's looking around. If I have every head bowed and eye closed real quick. Who in here, you need to have your sins forgiven? And Jesus has already forgiven them, but you're still wrestling with them. You're still dealing with the stuff. I'm going to count to three. And if there's anybody in here that just has to get square again, you got to get right again. One more time. I got to get square right. I got to just forget the past and start. Today's a brand new day. I'm going to count to three. Just raise your hand, and you're going to say, I'm going to start this thing over today. He's already forgiven you. I just need to accept his forgiveness. One, two, three. Who are you? Just raise your hand. I see the hand. I see him. Father, in Jesus' name, they are forgiven. I declare it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you that want prayer, come on forward. We're going to pray. The rest of you, you can be dismissed in Jesus' name. You can enjoy the day. There's a buffet downstairs, all of that. But the rest of you, Steph's going to continue to minister in song. Pick up your CDs on your way out. Bless the table back there. Leave your offering. Leave your donation. And we're going to continue just to minister at the altar. Okay? God bless. Leave them here where they belong. There is healing.